Welcome everyone to another episode of Stadium Cast, where we take you inside the competitive world of Pokemon Go. My name is AJ, and with me today is my friend John, aka JR Honda, aka I'm out of nicknames for this week. I'm gonna go easy on you. How are you doing, John?
A break from the nicknames. I'm doing well. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing okay. Today we're gonna be talking about hashtag Go Team Up, where that's at right now, where it's going. The Counter Alakazam Community Day coming up on April 25th. What John and I would be spending our Elite Charge TM if we had to spend it right now. We'll talk about some current events. There's no shortage of that in the Pokemon Go world. And we'll enter the speculation station. What we would do with level 45 Pokemon if they were to exist. So let's get right to it.
All right, let's do it. So Go Team Up. You got a team, right? You got a team, right?
I was not invited, and I was too lazy to make one.
What? No Texas team?
No Texas team.
No pilot team?
They're all really busy.
No butt team?
Well, I could make a butt team. I could make an AJ fan club team.
Just I think Alfindial had really the butts covered. He had a team called Alfindial's Butt Buddies. I don't know that I want to get into maybe where that came from, but Alfindial's Butt Buddies, let's just say they lost round one. So,
did they really?
Yeah. Poor guys.
Sounds like a crappy story.
Yeah. So we're doing our first kickoff of Go Team Up. So we like, of course, as you've told before, I have these big grandiose ideas and then, you know, I put it off on everybody else to make it happen. Right. And that kind of what
exactly
happened.
Right.
So
yeah, you walk in and say, I would really like this done. And when I say I would really like this done, it's more of a need and I want it right now. And then everybody else is up. It's up to them to execute it. So,
back in, it was around November, December of last year, we were talking about, you know, incorporating teams, and I had the idea of we wanted to sell the jerseys. We wanted to create esports jerseys because one of the key factors that we want to do at Stadium Gaming is to develop that esports culture around Pokemon. And so, one element of that was jerseys, but also another element of that was team play. And so, you know, I kind of mulled around the idea for a while of, you know, just having teams and figuring out a way to incorporate that into Pokemon Go trainer battles. And so we kind of just had the idea and said, hey, look, we're going to discuss it. We want to see what you guys as the community can come up with. So we're challenging you to hashtag Go Team Up, get together with your friends that you may have whatever in common. You may have the same hometown. You may have the same favorite football team. You may like cats. You may be the cool cats. You may be the Elite Four. You may be the Spartan Spoinks and think that Spoink is actually good in PvP when it's really not. But you know, you may be a Mantine lover, like KLTD. And so, we wanted to kind of put a platform out there for people to come together and not just make it it's me against this other person, but it's, hey, I've got my friends, you know, we're going to get involved in a competition, you know, friendly, healthy sort of thing. So, of course, we took forever to come up with something, but, you know, one of the things that I try and get everybody to do at Stadium is make sure that we're the best to market and not the first. I really don't care about being the first to market. You know, people are going to have ideas. People are going to do stuff. But we want to make sure that we take our time and do it right. So, you know, not to say that we're perfect. We're not perfect by any means, but we launched this team format and we're learning more and more each round that we do this of how we can make it better as we move forward. So we kicked off, looks like it's a 7-round, I think, tournament right now. Single elimination this time. And it is freestyle teams of four with randomized bands. And this round, the bands that were selected were Registeel, Regirock, Umbreon,
and Meganium.
Yep. I knew I was forgetting one. So we've had some pretty shocking outcomes. I wouldn't say, you know, Elite Four went down in round one. We've had some really neat things that we've seen. People like Ken from over at Lured Up, his New Jersey Go Battle League server that he runs, they have a couple teams, but only one of them entered the Garden State Garchomps, I think is what their name was called. They made it past round one. We had Spartan Spoinks and EU Emperors, which I think are going at it right now as we record this in round three. So some pretty interesting stuff. We've got a couple of staff members on some tournament, on some teams. We've got obviously the Cool Cats with Caleb Pang, CCO, and Cochino Mom. And I don't know who their fourth is. Whoever it is going to be severely mad at me, and I deserve it. But, you know, nonetheless. Well,
we can agree on that. you know, credit where credit is due, though. I know two people specifically that have been really working hard behind the scenes, not just for this format, but the formats that are being planned for the future in terms of team tournaments. So I'd really like to give thanks to Polymers Up and Tiguastel, because I know they spent a lot of cumulative time discussing all of those details of how different team formats might work. Anybody else you'd really like to mention? Or those two really do come to mind, though.
Absolutely. And just a little insight into behind the scenes. So around January, what we did was we kind of floated some ideas around, mainly Justin and Tristan, Tiguastel and Polymers Up. And then we got together a lot of our coaches and battle analysts who are already on staff, you know, working, either coaching or providing insight and analysis to our, Patreon supporters. And we got them to kind of form teams amongst themselves. And then we did some testing, behind the scenes. So, big thank you to Justin and Tristan, but also all of our coaches and analysts who helped test the formats behind the scenes for the past two to three months while we got everything ready.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see where this goes in the future, because right now it's just one tournament that's going on, but I know we have quite a lot of plans and a lot of different formats that are able to scale for different size teams. So it's just going to be really exciting. Anything you want to tease for what's to come?
I'll say this. Battle for the World teams edition coming soon. We've got a lot of working on behind the scenes. One of the other things that we debuted this week that I'm very excited about, you know, is the mask campaign with Crowdmade. As we all know, there's a lot going on in the world right now, mainly because of COVID-19. And one of the biggest issues, I would say, is the lack of PPE that is out there for healthcare workers. and general first responders. And so one of the things that we wanted to do, obviously some of the CDC guidelines, and not only here in the US, but across the world, has been to try and wear a mask when you're out in public in, you know, dense areas where it may be, I wouldn't say difficult, but just when you're out in public around other people, you're obviously, you still need to be practicing social distancing, but, you know, they said to wear a face covering. You know, medical grade masks have been hard to come by for not only the public, but specifically for healthcare workers. Hospitals are running out of them. And so it was very important for us to try and do something. And we started by, you know, doing our charity campaign through Tiltify, where we've raised close to $1,300 so far. Hopefully we can raise $2,500 of our goal. We started out with a $1,000 goal, but we kicked past that in a week and a half. So we jumped it up to $2,500, and hopefully we can do that by the end of this month. I think that would be fantastic, but we didn't want to stop there. And so I was talking with our account manager at CrowdMade, and they mentioned that we would they were looking into doing face masks, and that they were going to do a matching campaign to where for every mask that someone purchases, they donate a, you know, qualified health certified PPE mask to local hospitals that can utilize those to help patients and perform, you know, services. So they are $14.99 on our website, crowdmade.com/GoStadium. And for everyone that you purchase, one of those gets donated to a healthcare worker. And then on top of that, there is no commission that's paid out to us. All proceeds and all monies go directly to Global Giving's COVID-19 fund to help out with that. So I'm just really proud that we were able to do something like that. I think the design's pretty cool too. It has the stadium background with our trainer silhouettes and just says hashtag give back. That's one of the key things that we want to do at Stadium Gaming, is to give back as much as we can. So I was really proud that we were able to do something like that.
Yeah, so, they look really cool. I bought one as soon as I found out about the announcement. So it was really cool, and I'm really excited about it. I think it's also worth noting, and those masks, they don't guarantee that you know, you'd be protected from getting infected, but the idea is that we all do our part in preventing the spread. So, you know, at least you know, I'm one of those people that is still having to go to work. So when I go out into like the airport, you know, I have to assume that I'm infected, and that's kind of the general policy. And so, you know, if you have a face mask, if you are breathing into the air, you're potentially limiting how transmissible you are. Even though you might not be feeling the effects, that's just a small part that you can have in flattening out that curve. So,
yeah, it's important that we do whatever we can to help prevent spreading and also flatten the curve, and help, you know, keep the strain off of the healthcare system, not only with PPE, but also just, you know, following guidelines so that there's not unnecessary inflow of excessive patients. So,
yeah,
I know it's very important, you know, for you as a pilot, to, you know, do that as you travel and do things like that. So, I just think it's really cool that we were able to do that. Our friend Trainer Tips, I think has some masks as well, and it's, you know, it's not a competition here, folks. We're all trying to do the same thing. You know, I don't care whose mask you buy. Buy a mask, help out if you can. We'll put the links down in the show notes so that you can click that and go help out in that campaign. So,
yeah.
Countering COVID-19, let's talk about Counter Alakazam.
So, Alakazam, as we all know, was the Abra Community Day featured Pokemon, and it was canceled in an effort, Niantic's effort to flatten out the curve, prevent people from going outside. So it took a little bit of planning, but they've modified Community Day so that people can do it from their home. So it's a home edition of Community Day. And Alakazam is interesting, right? It is very glassy, very comparable in Great League to Haunter, just a hair bulkier. Although as a mono psychic type, it doesn't enjoy the series of resistances that, for example, Haunter might have in a play. In Great League, 154 attack, 103 defense, 91 stamina. That's obviously IV dependent, but that would be the coveted 115-15 rank one. And I believe you have one ready to go, right?
I have a rank 9. I'm not sure of the exact IVs. I will look right now as we talk about it. But I checked it, and it was an Abra when I caught it, and I evolved it to Kadabra. And it is now sitting there. Let's see here. Pulling it up. It is a 114-15.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I have a double digits, like a rank 80 or something ready to go. I have a rank 50-something Shadow Abra ready to go, which is also going to be interesting. It's the bottom line is Alakazam isn't going to be one of those meta shakers for things like Open Great League or Go Battle League, but it certainly might be dominant in a psychic or maybe like a meta that's really weak to fighting in a Sylph Cup.
Yeah.
That doesn't have fighting types or they're exclusively banned. So with Fire Punch is also, that is the other, I guess, coverage move that it enjoys. And it also has Shadow Ball, Focus Blast. It has some pretty hard-hitting charge moves. It also has Future Sight, which most people I don't think would pay much consideration because it's so much energy and Alakazam normally won't get there. But there's a Legacy Psychic version, which some people have been talking about for Ultra League, maybe even Master League. Have you collected any Psychic Alakazam over your...
I don't think I have one. I do have a perfect that's maxed out, but I'm pretty sure it does not have psychic. Let me look here.
I have level 100% Abra that'll probably get evolved and will stay at level one.
I have I also have, which is probably not going to be useful for anything, especially being that I have a rank 9. That's unevolved. I have a rank 22 Alakazam that's already evolved, not powered up. But interestingly enough, we're going to talk about Ultra League. I also have a rank 3 Ultra League Alakazam that is 0-12-14. This is supposedly a rank 3.
It's already evolved.
It's not evolved to Alakazam. It's still a Kadabra.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to be able to get counter on it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, in Great League, some notable wins that Alakazam enjoys. Basically, I ran the Matrix simulator on PvPoke. I removed Bates, and I came up with Ferrothorn, Registeel, Probopass, and Skarmory. Probopass is interesting just because of the double super effective counters hitting it every time. And the Bastiodon matchup is the same one shield versus two shields because Alakazam is just not going to survive the smackdown. So the only difference there with like Probopass and Bastiodon is Bastiodon just has higher amount of bulk. So the thing is, if you add baits in there, Alakazam starts picking up some other wins across the board just because it's able to bait that Fire Punch and hit and land those Shadow Balls for neutral damage or super effective damage. So it is interesting. It's just really, really frail. I mean, you're talking Haunter territory frail. So
yeah, it reminds me almost of a Gardevoir, I would say, more than Haunter, just because of the style of the moves. Like Haunter having Shadow Claw and access to Shadow Punch, it just seems faster. Whereas I think with counter and fire punch, how many counters is it going to take to Reach of Fire Punch 3, 4.
Well, let's look it up real quick. Counter. And we'll just put against something else. Yeah, it is not 3. It's 1. Hold on. The sim is trying to go for baits. It is 6.
Oh, 6 counters. Yeah.
Yeah. 6 counters. But, you know, counters is not a particularly slow move, so it's
yeah.
6 doesn't really take a whole long time.
So, is there any use in Master League at all? It seems like there may be a spot in Great League and Ultra League for some niche lines or a niche cup, so to speak. But Master League, I mean, there's not really anything. I mean, counter is great against the steals, but with its defense, I don't think it can hold up.
I mean, it's a psychic type counter user, so it resists counter. And counter in like fighting in general is decent coverage in the Master League, but it really does want more bulk. If you compare it to just strictly an attack stat, it's almost the same as Dialga. Actually, Dialga will typically win the CMP just by a hair, but it has so much less bulk that, you know, I think Dialga is in the 4,080 or something range when it's best buddy.
Yeah, maxed out best buddy Dialga is, I think, 4,080. And I was just looking at my perfect Alakazam that's all the way maxed out right now. It's not best buddy, but it's only 3,057 CP.
Perfect Dialga might be 4,090, but whatever the case, it's in the 4,000 range.
Right.
Alakazam is in the 3,000 range when it's maxed out. So, you know, that's 1,000 CP less worth of defense and stamina, even though they have similar attack. So it's very glassy, even in the Master League for Master League standards. I just don't see it having a whole lot of play in Master League, but some people will potentially bring it as a counter user. And that you know, it is something to think about. It is not particularly, it's not taking super effective damage from Togekiss, for example, but it is frail enough that those charm are going to add up for neutral damage.
Yeah.
Great League, some notable losses. Obviously, Umbreon. You'd think Umbreon would win that, and it does. Even with those counter, you know, it's kind of, basically Alakazam in Great League is similar to Deoxys Defense, but with less bulk, right? It's got the flipped stats. It actually loses to Lapras, and it only wins a 2 shield. And it barely wins Bastiodon in the 0 shield matchup. So worth considering that. And Ultra League, you know, Ultra League, the bulk sort of scales up differently than Great League. Things like Swampert actually have a considerable amount of bulk once their CP gets to that range. The problem with Alakazam is that it's still not high bulk, even in the Ultra League. 0-14-15 would be rank 1 with 199 attack, 130, almost 133 defense, and 118 stamina for the rank 1. It's very similar to Shiftree. Actually, Shiftree having a little bit more bulk. So I don't know if you've ever played with Shiftree in Ultra League, but particularly bulky.
Well, I liked Shiftree because of the spam ability of the charge moves in Ultra League. So I don't know that it will have the same feel, obviously, with Shiftree running Snarl and being able to be maxed out. Alakazam is going to be, I think, around level 33, 34, somewhere in that range for Ultra League.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot different. It's still, you know, frail. But I did like Shiftree in Ultra League, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what it can do. I've heard some interesting things about Shadow Alakazam, though. I've heard some people looking into that. It's just, you know, crazy damage output with Alakazam's high attack and then counter. There's a local of mine that I think has a 100% Shadow Abra. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the shadow. So here's the thing, right? In the shadow variants, they take that. I think they take a 20% attack increase for a 20% defense decrease.
Yeah,
something like that. So in the case of Alakazam, 20% attack increase is a lot of attack, but it already has pretty low defense. So what is it really losing out on that? It's just maximizing. It's sort of viability as a glass cannon. So you might actually see shadow variants. The thing is, it is so glassy that it might have you in like further trouble coming out on top in the matchup it needs to come out on top of. But I think counter as a sort of, you know, general trend will be better for Alakazam as opposed to Confusion. Confusion is a really hard-hitting psychic-type fast move, and it is very slow. And so a faster fast move will be a net win for Alakazam, generally speaking. Legacy Psychic might be something worth looking into. I don't think people will be spending their Elite Charge TMs, though, on the Legacy Psychic anytime soon. And it's going to be really, really low priority.
Yeah, I think if anybody's going to find a use for Alakazam, it's probably going to be using its other moves. Definitely, I think Fire Punch is a must. So then you're looking at between Shadow Ball, Focus Blast, and Future Sight. Most likely, I think people are going to lean towards Shadow Ball to give you that coverage against the ghosts that could be, you know, fighting back against Alakazam, and then potentially Focus Blast for that nuke style move as, you know, kind of a one last ditch effort to one shot something that comes in that might be weak to a fighting type move. So I don't know. I would be shocked if I saw someone using an Elite Charge TM to get psychic on an Alakazam, but regardless, what do you want to use your Elite Charge TM on if you had to use it?
Yeah, so that's the sort of question that I wrote down on our outline for this, is the idea of if we had to spend the Elite Charge TM, you know, right as we got it on the Community Day, which, by the way, it will be available in that one-time purchase bundle. What would we use it on, right? Obviously, I think a lot of people would save it just to see when it pans out to be super useful. But if we had to spend it right away, I would say I'd spend it either on my already double legacy Sea King and make it, it's currently Poison Jab, Icy Wind. So I'd give it the second move and give it Drill Run, and just make it the first triple legacy I've ever had. Or add Sky Attack to a Great League level Moltres, which is fairly interesting in the Great League just because Moltres is really limited in its ability to hit things, right? Because it receives the Ancient Power debuff. It does have Overheat, which is nice, but then you're stuck with a debuffed Moltres at that point. So probably the Sea King. If I had to spend one right away, I'd go for the Sea King. How about you?
Interesting. I also have a double legacy Sea King. Mine actually that was traded to me had Poison Jab, Drill Run. So I double moved it. It's actually 1500 on the dot.
Mine too. Yeah, mine too.
And, it has a Mega Horn right now, so I would say that that's a possibility, because I do like, obviously, Icy Wind, since receiving the stat update, has been fantastic with the attack debuff on Icy Wind. So that's definitely, but one Icy Winder that I like even more that I don't have is Icy Wind Dugong. I have one. I have a dugong that is high stat product. But see, that's the thing, is for the Icy Wind dugong, I need Ice Shard as well as the fast move, which is also legacy. So yeah. I'd have to wait until, you know, they give me an elite fast TM too. So if I had to pick right now, the thing that I think I could get the most use out of would be my lucky shiny maxed out Mewtwo with Psystrike. I would double move it and give it Shadow Ball to have the Psystrike and the Shadow Ball nuke. I think it could be fantastic in the Master League meta. I mean, with Psystrike alone, it still just does a ton of damage, you know, against a lot of things. I haven't seen a lot of people using Mewtwo. You know, it definitely has its niche use there in Master League, but I think the possibility of just having Mewtwo with Psycho Cut, Shadow Ball, and Psystrike, being able to throw those out very quickly, is just it's very very juicy, I would say.
Yeah, I think Mewtwo is the easiest, the option that makes the most sense right away. The reason I didn't pick that is because as soon as the Go Battle League season ends, we're going to get another one.
Yeah.
So Master League isn't for another few weeks. We still have to go through Great League again and then Ultra League. So I have, you know, plenty of time to see how that meta pans out. And I was thinking Sea King might be sort of an interesting pick for like an early return to Great League, because it has a decent matchup against Azumarill, and it has a charge move that hits Registeel for super effective.
Yeah.
And then in general, it also beats Altaria just because it has access to Icy Wind. So I don't know. It was more of like a non-bulky dugong fit that hits fairies for super effective in the fast move. But
I know I've also heard a lot of people wanting to use it on Mew just so that they can get their selected move. But I mean, at this honestly, point, I'm not hurting enough, for charge TMs. I mean, I'm not hurting for charge TMs anymore now that Go Battle League gives them out so easily. Fast TMs are still a little scarce. I think there's a lot of Pokemon that have a wide array of fast moves now. So those are a little bit more scarce. I have 5 fast TMs left, but I have 232 charge TMs.
Yeah, see, I'm on 32 fast TMs and 144 charge TMs. I'm not hurting really in either department. And I was running out of bag space before the new update. And so I just started using a bunch of charge TMs on Mew until I got the set that I wanted. So
yeah,
I just feel like it would be a bit of a waste to use the elite TM on Mew at this point.
Yeah, I think especially for the charge TM, because they're so accessible now, I think that would be a waste. Speaking of waste, we have an interesting sponsor this week.
Speaking of waste.
Speaking of waste. So they were actually watching the matchup of Arrow versus Aravel in the Team USA versus Team Canada. The Thunder Lions, which is one of the teams that kind of came out of the Go Team Up kind of push for Pokemon Go related teams. They're a team out of Mexico, and they have put together sort of a World Cup style teams tournament. And after the group rounds, there was a tie for the number one seed going into the next round. And so Arrow had to go up against Aravel in a best of 5. And I guess these guys were watching because they called as soon as that match was over and asked if they could sponsor this week's episode. So I said, sure, you know, let's give it a go. And so I'll let you listen to that now, and then we'll get back into it. This week's episode is brought to you by Alarmy. Do you oversleep every day of your life? Did you miss a $1,000 cash prize tournament because you overslept? Do you wish you slept even more so you weren't disrespected by Canada, eh? Is your name Arrow? And will you ever wake up on time? Well, now you can. With Alarmy, you will be forced out of bed before being able to silence this alarm. And you can download it today on iOS or Android. Having forced over 40 million users out of their beds, this app is a must-have for narcoleptic bad-switching losers like Arrow. You can shake your phone in a fit of rage over missing another tournament, or you can make yourself shake your phone for 30 seconds and wake up on time. You can rethink how to count confusions as you swap in your Alolan Raichu to eat an ice beam and cost yourself a match. Or you can make yourself do a math problem so you wake up in time to prepare for your match. You can look at screenshots of your Altaria getting sludge bombed to death by a Venusaur as you lose game 5. Or you can make yourself take a picture of a fresh can of Dr. Pepper so you can wake up in time to be refreshed before your match. All these fantastic features to help you be the very best like no one who oversleeps ever was. We'd like to thank Alarmy for sponsoring this episode. If you'd like to support the show, you can do so in several ways. Visit our Patreon at patreon.com/ghoststadium. You can also leave us a review on your podcast service of choice, or you can just keep listening to us blather on about PvP and argue with each other. Thank you for stepping into the stadium. And let's get back to the show.
Well, I haven't seen it yet, but I guess what you're saying is that Aravel won that particular best of five.
Yeah, you best betcha. Of three. It was a best of five. It was a best of five, and I believe, if I remember correctly, Aravel went up 2-0. And then Arrow came back and tied it up 2-2. But in the last match, he tried to bring in his Alolan Raichu to volt switch down an Azumarill in between bubble animations. He thought he timed it right, but the Azumarill got to the ice beam before the volt switch damage went through. And took out half of his Alolan Raichu, and he was done from there.
Yeah.
It ended with his Altaria getting sludge bombed by a Venusaur. Venusaur is the best Altaria counter in the game, right?
That's right.
So
that's exactly right.
Anyways, Arrow, download that app and wake up. Wake up, buddy.
Well, yeah, several of our Elite Four members,
they tend to oversleep.
Have been oversleeping, but at times that it's like 4 p.m. Eastern time, you know, things like 2 p.m. Central, well, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So at any rate, we do have some developments within the Pokemon Go and specifically the Pokemon Go PvP community. Go Battle League finally has a leaderboard. Mm. Have you made the leaderboard yet, John?
Absolutely not. I'm still ranked 9.
I haven't actually done any GBL matches in the last 3 days or something.
Really?
Sometimes, yeah, you know, sometimes with COVID and everything, you're spending time at home all day, and yeah. I have a kid. And so you know, you're spending time with your family, and then you're watching a movie before you go to bed. Go Battle League actually takes some time, right? And
oh, yeah.
What I ended up doing is I'd do them, you know, in the evening before going to bed. And at that point, I'm so ready to be done with the day that I do some really stupid stuff. And I end up tanking my MMR worse than it probably needs to be. So
Wait. 1 second. What is your MMR right now?
My MMR is at 28.26.
Okay, never mind. I'll hush.
What's yours at?
I thought you were a little bit worse than me. I was in the 2600s, but I've dropped down to 2481. I'm still ranked 9 though.
You're a real scrub then.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. No, I was at just around 2,900 and then Ultra League happened. And I made the mistake of switching teams like 16 times before I narrowed down a team. And I really should have just gone on PV Poke and used the battle trainer or theory crafted better with someone else. I thought I would just get away with using the old meta line of Giratina, Registeel, Swampert. And it's run into some issues, I think, since the Ancient Power nerf. Hmm.
So have you done any battles since they've kind of changed the battle screen?
Yeah, it's cool. It's a little bit different. Now the super effective attacks will sort of blink a little bit and they'll make the health bar turn red for a second or the edges of it. You have the typings there up on the corner that show up during the switch. It's actually the first thing that shows up when a Pokemon switches in. So, you know, you can sort of guess that information. If it's a flying fairy type, it's probably a Togekiss in Master League, right?
Yeah. So one of the things that I really like is, like you said, it's showing the super effective, but I don't know if it was just my phone or what, but it seems a little smoother now. I don't know if they've made some updates, but just the animations, the way, you know, the camera angle swings, it seems a little bit smoother when switching happens and things like that. So I'm not sure what they did, but it seems to be doing well. There's still lag issues. I still got the weak connection issue, even though I had, you know, 5 bars LTE, you know, just did a match and no connection issues, but suddenly the next match I have connection issues. So it's still got some things there.
I'm actually going to send you a battle and want to see what you think about this because, put Skarmory there in the lead while we're talking about this and see what happens to Skarmory's health bar. Cause I think this is something that needs to be addressed. It is kind of funky how this works. It does feel like a smoother experience, generally speaking. It's I don't know if it's the frame rate or just the overall picture has changed, but it seems somewhat better. Yeah, so we're Skarmory on Skarmory in this matchup, and I just sent him a battle. And so as he's jumping up and down, Skarmory doing air slashes, the health bar goes outside of the screen because he's bouncing up and down so badly.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. Actually.
It is kind of goofy. I think that's something that needs to be addressed. It's probably even worse with something like Lugia. Credit to very cool guy Noah for finding that one out. I thought it was pretty funny when I saw that.
So, they did that. They hinted at there were going to be some other changes. I don't know if this was all of the changes that they're really talking about, because if you read the blog, it says there's going to be new updates coming to the battle screen. And they kind of had already showed that had kind of talked about how these updates were going to come. So, I saw some speculation on Twitter. I think Jiggly Dad was talking about, you know, changing how switches happen or where the switch menu is or something like that. So if you had to guess or if you had to ask for an update besides the bouncing health bar on Skarmory and Lugia, what would you think could be the next set of quality of life updates for trainer battles?
I really would like it if switching went back to how it was, where you wouldn't. So right now, when you do a charge move, there's a situation where if both players do the charge move at the same time, on occasion, the player who does the charge move first is going to be able to switch out the Pokemon and switch into a charge move, and you will not see that Pokemon until after your charge move is finished. This happens a lot in Master League. Suppose Melmetal versus Melmetal. They both do superpower. My superpower comes in first, then your superpower comes in, but I've already switched in to, I don't know, something like a Kyogre or whatever.
Yeah.
And at that point, it's pretty unfair because we both hit superpower at the same time. So why would there be such a penalty that you're able to get it in first? So I'm not sure what's going on there in the background, but a compromise on Twitter from Tangent44 was to have the Pokemon be able to yell surprise if that happens.
So surprise!
Like Snorlax comes in and it's just a big surprise in bold letters when it's tanking a Shadow Ball from a Giratina. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Good. Yeah, that's pretty good. I like it. So it has to yell surprise and have a birthday hat on it. It has to have a party hat.
Yeah.
So if
there's some variants I had. I don't know if you ever watched Dexter, but there's a
absolutely.
There's a character that yells surprise and then he has some expletives there at the end.
Yeah.
So I thought it might be cool if Pokemon made a sharp turn towards that and just yelled surprise like James Stokes.
Oh man, as the charge move comes out of the shipping container.
Yeah.
A little Dexter humor for the podcast this week. Okay. So I saw a long time ago, this is kind of weird, but somebody had kind of done a mock-up. It may have been Disney Gamer. I don't remember quite exactly. But someone did a mock-up of, instead of it being a Switch tray, you basically, whatever Pokemon that you had
on the side, have them on the side panel.
You have them on the side, then it's a one tap switch to, if I've got, you know, say a Dragonite on the left and I've got a Melmetal on the right, you know, I've got Togekiss in there and somebody's about to throw, I've gone into an opposing Melmetal. They're about to throw a Rock Slide. Instead of me having to do multiple taps of pull up the Switch menu, continue counting, try and swap in the Melmetal, being able to one tap the Melmetal and that be the one turn duration that the swap occurs, and bring the Melmetal in. I think that would be interesting. I don't know how it would play into it, but I saw somebody design that a long time ago. I believe it was Disney Gamer. I'll have to look and see.
It would almost be cool to see, ask for the world here, right? Have like a little HP bar and be able to see exactly how much life your Pokemon has left before you switch it in. You know, it would be a full green bar if it hasn't been used yet. But if it's something you switched out and then perhaps you forget that it's at a sliver of HP, then that's the one you'd use with as a third shield, for example. Yeah.
I think they're doing a lot of things right now to, one of the big issues that we talk about is the barrier to entry. It's great that they've lowered the friendship barrier for trainer battles to occur between two people. And I think that's great and it should continue. I think it will continue. They may move it up to good friends or great friends so that there has to be 7 interactions, but I think finding a happy medium there is going to be good overall for the community. But there's still the issue of, if I'm a new player, I can't just download the app and start battling today. It's just not possible for me to do that. But I think they're doing things. If you look at some of the steps that they're taking, obviously this is Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go and Niantic, their goal is to make people get up and go. It's fast paced activity. And that's kind of how the battles are in the main series games. You know, there's a series of turns, you can make calculated decisions. And it's not that you can't do that in Pokemon Go. You have to do that in Pokemon Go, but you have to do it crazy, crazy fast. You have to do it as it happens. So I think they're making changes to where it can become more like the main series games, where you have some of those features in there. But at the same time, we have to keep in mind that they are adhering to the mission statement of get up and go. And it's a fast paced system. It's, you know, real time battling. And I think that's good. I think it's good. I think they do need to do something about the barrier to entry, possibly introducing rental teams. So like in VGC, you can log in, create an account and put in a rental code and you immediately have a team of level 50 Pokemon that you can do online battles with. I think that's definitely something, you know, whether it be exactly that or something that's similar to that, that they integrate in the future. I think that's a necessity to really take GBL and, you know, really competitive Pokemon Go to the next level so that anybody can, you know, if they wanted to get involved, they could get involved, you know, day one. They may not, you know, climb to the top of the leaderboard, but at least they would have access to be able to be on the same level playing field, so to speak.
Right.
I'll stop jabbering on about that and tell you about my day in Liverpool today.
Yeah, because you were a ticket holder and you had your special Liverpool day today, right?
Yes, I rode around Pell City, Alabama, wishing I was in Liverpool, England. And I caught a ton of Relicant. Not so many shinies. I think I ended up with 16 shinies.
Not that many. That's not so many.
Hey, well, I'm being serious. I've seen people on Twitter like JT Valor got 45 shinies, I want to say.
Yeah, but he's also one of the most hardcore shiny collectors in the world, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you have a point. Jenny XO got 25, I think. Okay. I saw. She got 25. I did, I was able to get everything that I did not have except for one. Can you guess the one that I still do not have?
Krabby.
No, I have two shiny Krabbies now.
Well, is Chinchou available?
Chinchou's guaranteed. Okay. So you get the guaranteed Chinchou shiny from the research. So I did get one of those.
Did you miss Dratini Community Day?
No, I got Dratini. It was Tentacool. I still do not have shiny Tentacool.
Tentacool is featured for this?
Yeah, it was. So basically it seemed like it was really water-based because the featured Pokemon was Chinchou, obviously. And then there were Poliwag, Carvana, Tentacool, and...
Tentacool isn't even listed on Leekduck, for example. So I suppose you had a bunch of Tentacool there.
Yeah, there was a ton of Tentacool, Krabby, and then obviously Relicant and Oshawott. I did get a rank 3 Great League Samurott, but its move pool is still kind of gross. So I don't know that that's going to be relevant. I did get a good Relicant, or got a rank 89 Relicant. So that'll be good. I already had some good Krabbies. I got another shiny Krabby. So now I have.
There's no such both. Thing as a good Krabby.
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
Yeah. I mean, Kingler actually has access to Legacy. Legacy Kingler has access to Mudshot. And it's just not good. It's too frail. My theory is that
the legacy
monotypes have to be on the bulkier side to be fairly good, because as a monotype, the general balance of typings is fairly decent. But if you want to be if it's a Pokemon that's really frail, like Haunter. The only reason Haunter is really good in Great League is because it has a lot of resistances thanks to its ghost and poison typing. So, yeah. You know, unless it's something like just ghost or steel. Steel has a lot of resistances. I don't see much future in Kingler just because it's so, so frail. And its charging moves aren't amazing either.
Yeah, I got some pretty good stuff. Let's see. I went through and I checked everything.
Any good Dratini to save for a potential?
I did. I got a rank 33 Ultra League Dragonite.
Okay.
So hopefully if we get superpower in the future, you know, I have it ready. And then, another one that I didn't mention was Psyduck. Did not have shiny Psyduck. I got 3 shiny Psyducks, but also I got my currently best PvP IV was actually a shiny this time. I got a rank 96 shiny Golduck now. I got a rank 89 Relicanth. I got another really good Poliwrath, a rank 4. I got a rank 28 Pelipper.
Was it raining?
Pelipper's. It was not.
No. It was not rainy weather? Mm-mm. There just seems Wingull, to be a lot of water types in this.
Yeah, it was a ton of water types. Wingull and Psyduck were there as well. I got a rank 24 Sharpedo, a rank 5 Politoed. Now, that's one we didn't talk about earlier, but it could be a possible elite charge TM.
Yeah, Earthquake is a solid move, and yeah. Politoed does have Mudshot and Surf already.
Yeah.
It does have non-legacy Blizzard, if you want to go that route, but at that point, it's not really functioning as a Mud Boy if you're running Surf and Blizzard. But Earthquake is what makes it comparable to the Mud Boys. It's just a non-ground type Mud Boy.
So I got that, and then I got a rank 62 Armaldo. So that was also featured. I think it was featured. It was part of the spawn pool. That's all I know, was the Anorith and Lilip. So I got shinies of both of those, which I did not have before.
You know what's not part of the spawn pool that I'm hearing of what you're rattling off there?
What is that?
Sentret.
Oh, there was no Sentret today for me.
Yeah. None. Unfortunately, I'm going to get a lot of Sentret for my Liverpool day because mine will be on Sunday. And Niantic has made a really, really cool event that is inconvenient for me. The Incense Shuffle event will have a boosted amount of Sentret with incense spawns from basically all day, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. local time. You're going to get a lot of Sentret. And then every hour in the middle of that Incense Shuffle event, there's going to be different featured events. So from 11 to 12, it's water-type Pokemon. So I'm going to get even more water-type Pokemon during that. And 12 to 1, it's fire type. So 1 to 2, it's grass type. So anyway, they make their rounds, and there's some interesting spawns like Joltik and Drillbur. And then if you missed out on shiny Bronzor, maybe you get another opportunity there. They're decent spawns. It's just kind of, at least for me, it's annoying that I'm going to get them.
So they've diluted your spawn pool.
The Liverpool spawns.
But Furret is good. Furret's great, right?
Furret is not great. I don't care what Polymorph Up tells me. Furret is not great. He tried to convince me to max, because I do have, I think I have a rank 2 that would cost something like 200k Stardust. Yeah. But I'm not doing that. No. No thanks. Maybe it was for Ferocious that Furret was okay, because it had like Brick Break and maybe Hyper Beam or Dig or something like that.
Yeah, I've got a rank 8. Let's see how much it would cost, because it's currently at 310 CP. Yeah, it would cost 193,200 dust to power it up.
Yeah, to be honest, though, the Liverpool event it's not amazing, but it's some decent perks. I mean, did you get an even lower hatch distance? Did it go down to a quarter hatch distance? Okay,
yes,
so that's the appeal for me, is an increase in Stardust just from the X.
And I believe I get that all weekend because I had the City Explorer pass.
Oh.
So, yeah, I believe that's part of the perk is you get it, you get access to that lowered hatch distance all weekend long because I was racing to get more eggs before 6 o'clock my time came up. And I got a bunch of 5Ks, and then when I went to incubate them, I put them in super incubator, so it should have been 1.7 with the already reduced, but it's actually 0.8.
Wow.
For as you can see here.
For a 10K?
For a 5K, it's 0.8. Okay. For a 10K, it should be, if it's half and then half, it should be 2.5 instead of 3.3.
Yeah.
For a super incubated 10K. Something like that.
Yeah, that's really nice.
So, yeah, I will be hatching a lot of eggs this weekend, mainly for Stardust purposes. I will enjoy the incense event while you do not enjoy the incense event.
Yeah, it's okay. I already had the relic hands from DC, which is was a great time. Stocked up a lot on Relicanth, and when this is all over, we'll be able to, you know, just have more for trade and just have more candy available in general. I'm not so excited about the hat Pikachu appearing again, but at least now we can mass transfer them.
Yes, that is nice. It was very nice today to be able to mass transfer when I caught some of the Bolero Pikachus in the midst of the spawns and being able to go through and IV check and then select all of them, including the Bolero hat Pikachus, and delete them all at the same time. It was very nice. Yeah. What else is going on? They announced another buddy event, right?
Yeah, you called it, man. Buddies will bring items more frequently. So that was a suggestion you had either last week or the week before. And, you know, it was an idea to help mitigate the effects of people staying indoors and being able to play.
I was looking at the analytics on the podcast, and I saw this little dot in San Francisco. And I said, I wonder if Niantic is listening to this podcast.
Maybe.
Maybe they did.
Maybe.
Maybe they did.
Nevertheless, buddies will be bringing items more frequently during this buddy event. We'll be seeing an increase in the amount of Joltik around. So get those Galvantula ready. I think it's a phenomenal Pokemon for Go Battle League. I think it's a really good niche within the Open Great League as a check to things like Skarmory, Azumarill. It has a Hail Mary Bug Buzz that almost one-shots Meganium. It definitely has some play. A Volt Switcher with Stab Bug Buzz is nothing to sneeze at. So,
by the way, you pronounced it Galvantula. The correct pronunciation is Spooder. Spooder. It's called Spooder.
Where's Spooder from?
I believe that originated from either Choostmaster or Casey, I don't know. It's from that group of degenerates.
The meme team.
Yeah, the meme team. Yeah. But yes, it is pronounced Spooder. So make sure you get yourself a good Spooder for trainer battles.
Spooder, I'm a big fan of, but I was almost sick of Chansey with this most recent event, but I guess we're going to be getting even more Chansey. So I know the meme team will be really happy because they are also filthy beamers and they'll be able to get even more opportunities for Chansey.
Hashtag okay beamers. I will not mind Chansey because I still don't have a shiny and I would like a shiny Chansey.
Oh, you don't have a shiny? Oh, that's too bad.
No, still no shiny Chansey.
On the last day of the event, of the most recent event, I hatched a shiny Happiny, and then I also, my gacha just snagged a shiny Chansey randomly. which happens to be pretty good IVs for Ultra League, and I evolved it already to Blissey. So maybe I'll partake in some of the hashtag get beamed activities that King of Charmanders has been promoting in Ultra League.
AJ, hashtag AJ is a butt beamer. Let's get that trending, people.
That phrasing out of context, nobody will find enjoyable, I think.
So part of the buddy event is reduced. How do we put this? I believe Niantic said you can get your buddy excited much quicker. So who are you going to be buddying up with so that you can get them very excited very quickly, AJ?
Basically my Master League hard hitters that I don't have them powered up yet, right? Darkrai, I have 100% Darkrai, and ooh, getting a little bit more candy to chip away at that cost will be really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it gets excited. My Darkrai, when it's excited, really like getting that extra candy on it. Landorus was able to snag a 98% with only 14 stamina. So excited about that one. Pachirisu, I've been working on already, so I might as well. And Gible. I think it'll be a good opportunity to get a lot of Gible candy. So I might be working on
Pachirisu. Yeah. So Pachirisu, best buddies under 1500 maxed out, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, that'll be nice. I still need Master League peeps. So I'm going to be looking for lucky trades. Hopefully I can get a lucky trade in on a Dialga. I've been trucking along in Master League without Dialga.
Ooh.
But I've had success though. I mean, I've done okay.
Yep. Down in like my 2200 MMR.
It's 2400. Oh, thank you very much.
I'm sorry.
I've been as high as 2600. but I do like the double mud strategy has been pretty interesting with a lot of the steals, seeing a lot of Melmetal and Dialga, Garchomp lead, Melmetal in the middle, and Rhyperior in the back.
At 2400 MMR, do people even use maxed out Pokemon, generally speaking?
Yes.
They do?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so checking.
I run into the meta lines pretty often with Dialga and Togekiss, Giratina Origin. I still love it when they don't shield the outrage on the Giratina Origin from the Garchomp. It's really nice.
I like Garchomp. Garchomp is really the biggest drawback to Garchomp is getting locked in against a Togekiss, which I happen to be running quite a bit. And I think a lot of people use Garchomp as a safe switch, but then they get counter-switched to my Togekiss, and it's just a massive uphill battle for them. If they're running Sandtomb, which most people are, then at least they debuff me, but who cares?
So I hope to get a level 40 best buddy perfect Dialga soon.
Yeah,
but if it wasn't already hard enough to get that, we saw something in the code from the Pokeminers. Now, let's throw this disclaimer out there again. You know, nothing that they found in the code has been confirmed or approved by Niantic. It is all speculation, but we will jump into the speculation station, and they have seen reward levels for up to level 50. So if there was any Pokemon that could get to level 50, you explain it because I'm stupid when it comes to this. You were telling me the other day.
You don't have to put any modifiers. You just say you're stupid. Right.
But you were telling me the other day that technically it's level 38. They're level 38 trainers or something like that.
Well, I think at level 38, you can
explain it to us.
Yeah, level 38, you can get Pokemon to level 40. That's
right.
That's a consensus, right? Now, the idea would be maybe at level 43 or maybe at level 45, you would be able to get Pokemon to level 45. It's possible that Pokemon can go all the way to 50. My guess would be that things would stay the way they are. So
yeah,
they would still be capped out at 40, but the benefits of leveling up past 40 would be for the items, which I think is just placeholders. I don't think there's much incentives for trainers to get lucky eggs at level 50. But yeah. If there were, say, elite charge TMs for leveling up, maybe that would be like a larger incentive for people to go out and grind. Because I've been chucking, I call them yucky eggs. I don't call them lucky eggs. So yeah. I've been throwing them away as soon as I get them in the rare event that I buy them in the bundle boxes.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't be if I saw an incentive to level up. So some people are already in the, you know, past the 100 million XP mark. But, you know, there's trainers that have only recently got to level 40. So there'd be some milestones to look forward to past that. So what we're sort of speculating is we're calling this the speculation station, right? Where we would,
yeah.
where we would, see some players benefit from a level 45, and maybe like Pachirisu would be one of them. I know Medicham is well below the 1500 mark, so it would only be better in terms of bulk and even attack. So it potentially could reach certain breakpoints that might make it more interesting. In fact, I think at level 45 Medicham, the perfect would be something like 13, 15, 15. So there are some other ones. Basically anything in the 12, let's call it 1100 to 1600 range would benefit from this cap within Great League. So just to rattle off a few, this is by no means an exhaustive list, but Azumarill, there'd be an increased bulk in Azumarills with a level 45. Sableye would definitely be interesting. Bastiodon would get even more bulk as if it didn't need that. Yanma, Bayleaf, Medicham, Lickitung, Grimer, and Corsola. I threw in Corsola just because it's got an interesting typing. And then for Ultra League, I think Ultra League would be the biggest winner, in my opinion, because Great League is already really diverse, but there's a lot of Pokemon in the 20 that cap out in the, call it 2700 to 2200 range. The Defense Deoxys would potentially be more playable. And yes, I said Defense Deoxys within Ultra League. Alolan Raichu, which is an interesting counter to Registeel, has Grass Knot for Swampert and can hit neutral psychics against Giratina, I guess. Cacturne is interesting because it's got that grass dark typing, just like Shiftry. Shiftry itself would also be a little bit better. And then Alolan Sandslash, Clefable, Registeel, unfortunately, and Granbull as well.
Yeah, look, just if Registeel and Bastiodon are going to get better, I don't want it. just leave it. Just leave it alone.
Yeah. honestly, if I had to put my money on it, I would say that level 45 is not going to be a thing for Pokemon.
Yeah.
And it would only be for trainers. I think trainers would be the beneficiaries of the increased level, and that people would be able to get certain items, you know, certain special items for reaching those landmarks. And that way Niantic could make, you know, truly high requirements for you getting to, you know, level 50, for example. Like only the most elite players would be getting to that level, the people that truly spend a lot of time and resources in the game.
Brandon Tan would would just be instant level 50, probably.
Yeah, how would that work? Would he get all the items immediately?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that they've got to figure out is if they were to ever introduce sort of new level achievements, how do they evaluate it if you've got people that are already past a certain XP mark? So
what if they don't get anything?
Brandon Tan. Oh, that would be horrible.
But it's only a few people, right? So it's not that many.
Oh, I don't think it's a few. I think it's more than a few people. I mean, it would depend on how much XP we're talking here. If at level 40 is 20 million, you know, it's a double multiplier. So essentially you'd be talking 40 million, 80 million, 160 million.
I guess what I'm talking about is up on the higher, like 45 plus, you know, like the 45 to 50 range. Mm-hmm. You would probably be talking about upwards of 100 million XP.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think there, I mean, there's definitely a lot of players that have 100 million XP, but it's not the majority of the player base or even close.
Oh, no. It's definitely, well, when I say that there's definitely more than one. I know of one in Alabama, Scott Pyre. He's an avid XP grinder, and I want to say he's at 300 million XP, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and then obviously you've got Brandon Tan and the 100 million club of people that, you know, they really enjoy grinding XP. So I think there's a good many people that would, you know, like that, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I think the Stardust requirements would be absolutely insane. Also getting things from 40 to 45.
Just like I told you before we started recording, when we were talking about adding this into the episode, if I have to max something out to level 50 to compete in Master League, I just won't do it. I probably just will not do it. I don't think that solves anything with their current issue of barrier to entry. So,
and it's all,
I think
it's
adding
also
more cost
further. It's just going to put more distance between Dialga and everything else.
Yeah.
Because basically the highest stat products, I think, are like, I'm going to just rattle off of memory, right? But it's something like Kyogre, Dialga, Groudon, and, you know, some others that don't have great moves, right? And so,
yeah.
Groudon, interestingly, straight Mudshot Earthquake beats Swampert. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's only because of stats. And you're getting into a situation where Swampert is hitting Groudon for super effective, but it's not hard hitting enough to come out winning that matchup, right? So then that's in the one shield, and that's just as an example, but you're just going to put more and more distance between something like Groudon or Kyogre. And not that Groudon is really very much used in Master League right now, but all it needs is a slightly better move to be, you know, front and center within them in the meta. So I agree with you. I don't think it would do any good, especially for Master League, but not even for Great League, to be honest.
We'll see. We'll see what they do. And maybe we'll, I don't know. We'll see. We'll just have to wait and see what they do. I mean, we can speculate all we want to. That's what's great about Speculation Station. Is you can come in, you can speculate, and then you can leave, and nothing's changed.
Yeah.
So, but some of the things that will change is coming soon. AJ really wants to have live audience questions because he has no friends and he needs more people to talk to. So we're going to start doing either live streaming, us recording this on Twitch, or we're going to set aside a time block where we let you guys call in and talk to us, and then maybe we clip those into the show. We've got to talk about it, figure out how we're going to do that, but we've got the tools, we've got the equipment now, so now we just got to figure out how we're going to do it, and we'll get you to where you can talk to the butt himself, Mr. AJ Pilot, Squawk Dirty to me. Mm-hmm. He really needs friends. That's the main reason behind this, right?
Yeah, Yeah, I think, you know what, one of the silver linings for me in this post-apocalyptic world is that people respect my bubble way more. They respect my personal space so much. And I appreciate that. I appreciate my personal space being respected. So I do want to insert a little bit of plug. I've been working with Jiggly Dad and some other people, including 2O Butters. We're doing this every Tuesday, you know, just schedule permitting, but every Tuesday they're doing a Shoutcast School on Jiggly Dad's Twitch channel. So it's pretty interesting. I think we're having a little twist on it where we're going to be roasting different Shoutcasters that voluntarily put themselves up in front of us and do some casting on their own. And the idea is to, you know, help people and give constructive feedback, but we'll have a little fun with it too.
You give constructive feedback?
Yeah.
I didn't know you had that capability, AJ.
I do. But it might not translate immediately when we proceed directly to the roasting, but the intent is for constructive criticism for sure.
All right, guys. Well, that's a wrap. We'll see you guys in the next episode. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and leave us a review if you have time. We'll see you guys next week.
Peace.